Hi. This is the third teaching of the New Life cassette album and or the New Life pack. This is Jonathan Kahn, and with this teaching, we're going to go into the Bible, and we're going to explore the Word of God. I'm going to take you into it. This is called Manna, the Word. And also, I'm going to show you how to avoid truth from error, how to discern that, and just really to know your way around it, and give you a real good overview. Before anything else, coming up will be also Stepping Out and the Butterfly Principle, The Lover and the Beloved, Changing Clothes, Cool, Uncool and the Doritos Principle, The Others, Dealing with People, Dragon Slaying, Heaven's Secret Agent and Your Mission from God, The Happiness Secrets, and other things. Coming up, so before we go on, I want to encourage you also to, if you have a friend who has been in the Lord before you, give your questions to them as well. Talk to them. You know, it's a real important thing. Let them know where you're at and any questions you have. Also, a question for you. How's your secret place doing? Have you established it yet? Has it been yet established as your daily place to go and your daily time? If not, you need to do that. Remember the four principles: that in your secret place, the time, communion with God, Scripture, the Word, action, and then fellowship. All right, so important. Make sure. Now, let's get into the Word. Now, I'm going to touch on some things that I just touched on before, get a little bit more into it. But we're going to go into the Bible. I'm going to show you a section and how to read it, how not to read it, how to, the secrets of discerning truth from error, and in teachings and cults, and what's balanced, what's not, putting the Word into practice. So first, reinforcing some of the basics mentioned with the four foundations. The Word is the expression, the communication of the living God. So therefore, it is a precious thing. It is precious, and as I said, the Bible itself calls it a lamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light to my path. You know, like it leads me through life. Like without it, I wouldn't have life. It is bread for my soul. It says that it's sweeter than honey, you know, when to your soul. So remember, as food is to your body, so the word is food to your soul and to your spirit and to your new self in the Lord. As you grow in the new birth, you need to have food for that. And this is the spiritual food. Now, first thing, you get a Bible. Now, get a Bible that you're comfortable with. Now, you might have had a New Testament someone gave you. You want to get a whole Bible, and the New Testament is great, you know, and carry around and all that. Get something that's easy for you to understand. There are many different translations. Most of them are great. I mean, there are some ones where people have an axe to grind, but pretty much they're all great no matter, and don't get wrapped up when people say one is better than the other. In other words, King James is fine, but it's Old English, so it's hard to, you know, it's Shakespearean, so there's no need, it's no more holy than another one. There's the New King James. There's also a good Bible is the NIV, the New International Version, also the NAS, the New American Standard Version. The Living Bible is a very kind of simplified one. There's a lot of great ones, okay? And so don't worry about that. The major ones are generally very good. So get a Bible now. And if you don't have one, turn off the tape and get one. Okay, and come back. Now, get the Bible. You have your Bible. Open it up to the table of contents. Okay? I want to show you some things there so you get an idea. If you look at the table of contents, you should notice the Bible is divided into two major sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, we think, well, the Old Testament's Jewish, the New Testament's Christian. Well, they're both Jewish. They're both Jewish, and they're both leading up to Messiah, and that's where we get the word Christ or Christian from. The real names of people in the New Testament, John is really Yochanan, Mary was Miriam, all these Hebrew names, Joseph, Yosef, Jesus is real name Yeshua, Joshua. So it's all Jewish, but it's all for everybody. It's everybody. And if you have a pen, get a pen and paper, because I'm going to give you some scripture verses to check out, to look at, okay? Unless you just do it right now with the putting the tape on pause. In Jeremiah 31:31, there's a prophecy, and check it out. It says, the time's coming when I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel. A new covenant. Now, here's in the Old Testament, it's prophesying the New Testament right there. See, the Bible is divided again. The Old Testament, which is basically the Old Covenant, basically, sort of. And it's basically B.C., before Messiah, before Christ. And the New Testament, which sort of means the New Covenant, And again, they're both mentioned in Jeremiah 31:31, which is basically A.D., okay? So now B.C., A.D., now the C for B.C. stands for Christ, of course. That's how we mark our time. But that's a Greek-English translation of a Hebrew word, which is literally Mashiach or Messiah. Christ's really Messiah. It's a very Jewish word. It really means before Messiah, B.C., and after Messiah, okay? So the Old Testament, real simple way, is leading up to Messiah, Jesus, Yeshua. The New Testament pretty much starts from the birth of the Messiah. So the Old Testament is saying he's coming. The New Testament, basically, he's here. Okay? So in that's the major division there. So to help you understand it. So the Bible is 66 books, and 39 of them are the Old Testament. 27 of them are the New Testament. The Old Testament is generally harder to read. Because it's all leading up. It's like, let me explain this to you. Picture an iceberg. You know, and you see the top of it. That's the New Testament. But you strip away the water, you see this gigantic base of a mountain kind of leading up, you know, to, I say, a large iceberg. Well, that's sort of what it's like. The Old Testament is like the New Testament is like the tip of the iceberg, but I don't mean that it's the glory of it. It's the pinnacle of it. Everything is converging on that peak. You see it all there. You can see it in a miniature, the whole thing. But then the base of it is the Old Testament. And so there, when you see the whole thing together, you see how majestic it is. You see how majestic Messiah is when you see all the things that were leading up to him. So all these things are leading up to him in God's plan. It's leading up to Messiah. And remember, his name, Jesus, his real name, Yeshua, means salvation. So it's all about salvation. It's about God and man. And ultimately, God and man is one, the reconciliation, which is the New Testament. So it's also, it's certainly not best to try to start in the Old Testament, except for books like Genesis, which are easy to read. And there are different books which are easier. And again, Psalms at any time. You know, when I first read the Bible, I didn't know, you know, what's this Psalms? You know, it's Psalms, which are like the praises and the worship and prayers, you know. And Proverbs is easy to read at any point and any one about wisdom and et cetera. And there are a lot of great things, but you want to see how it all relates. The key is the word Yeshua, salvation, and Jesus. Where is he? How is this all relating? Sometimes it's hard to see. Sometimes it's incredible to see it. Or once you see this, like in the Old Testament, there are all sorts of things about sacrifices and what's that all about, you know. But ultimately, what's the New Testament? It's about the sacrifice of God, you know, of Messiah. And so this is all foreshadow. So it's kind of like the Old Testament is a foreshadow, or has it's filled, looking forward to. Some say the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. It's kind of hidden in there. Messiah is hidden in there. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. It's the final, it's the revelation, you know. And I'll explain more in another or more advanced course about that. But here are some little hints to understand now the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures. Again, they're both Jewish, and they're both for everybody, but they're called the Hebrew Scriptures because they're written in Hebrew, while the New Testament was written in Greek by largely Jewish people. Okay, the Old Testament is divided into three sections. The first is Genesis to Esther, and that is historical. It shows you the history of it. It's kind of progressing. Genesis, Exodus, it's, you know, the Hebrews coming out of Egypt, and the birth of the birth of the nation, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then the 12 sons who become the 12 tribes that go down to Egypt, and then the Hebrews in Egypt, and then they come out, you know, the Ten Commandments, and in the wilderness, the whole covenant, and the priests and Levites. This is just to give you a quick thing. Then they enter the Promised Land. It's like the book of Joshua, and the book of Samuel and then they have a king, David, and well, Saul, David, and Solomon, and then you have the book of Kings and Chronicles, which cover that and that history, and it splits into two: Israel on the top, Judah in the south, and then there is judgment. They fall away from God, and they're taken over by, you know, there's the Assyrians come in the north, and then later on the Babylonians come in and take the Jewish people away from Jerusalem. It's called the Babylonian captivity. I'm just giving you a rough thing. So basically, they messed up. They fall. Then they fell, and it really shows that man can't make it on his own righteousness. And then there are continual, you know, the prophets arise and throughout that time, and then there are continual prophecies about Messiah coming to bridge man and God and restore. You know. So anyway, that's just a very quick thing. But historical is that. Then you have the next section, which is called the poetical section, which is the Job to the Song of Solomon. Those are all, and includes Psalms and Proverbs. And it's poetical. And it's filled with God. It's just different from a historical kind of thing. Then you have the prophetical section, the third one, which is Isaiah to Malachi. These are the prophets who spoke, you know, God speaking, and that's why you have a lot of prophecies of Messiah. It's all leading up to the coming of the Redeemer, it kind of shows the need for the redemption of the Jewish people and for all people, because the Jewish people are just like a vessel to bless all people. The first five books of the Old Testament, of the historical section, which is the first section, is called, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, is called the Torah, or the Law, the Old Covenant. Those are the five books of Moses, just so you know that. Now, the New Testament quotes the Old Testament hundreds of times, and when it says Law, or Torah, it refers to that, but it often refers to more than just those five books, the full instruction of God. It often says, you'll hear in the New Testament saying the Law and the Prophets. That's pretty much the Old Testament, you know? So, therefore, the New Testament now, if you look at that, it begins with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospel. Gospel means the good news, and it's found, you know, it's a very Jewish thing. People don't realize it. It's found in Isaiah. It speaks about the good news and in the Old Testament, but anyway, it's the four accounts of the good news. It's sort of the life of Messiah, but it's not really so much a biography. It's about really focusing on redemption. It's the good news. Why? Because it's salvation. That's what it's about, you know. So it's kind of like the difference in the Old Testament, the word of God is coming in different ways. But in the New Testament, you know, it says, it opens up in the book of John, really majestic opening. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. So now the Word is, God's expression is through the Son. And so now it's touching lives, and so people can see Him through different angles, and so you have the Gospel. So it's four different views, sometimes overlapping, sometimes different. Before I get into that, let me just, a little note here. It's all written, except with the possible exception of Luke, who may have converted to Judaism, we don't know, or was a Greek Jew, or we don't know. It's all written by Jewish people. So, you know, some people have twisted when they see things and says the Jews. Remember, everybody, you know, pretty much everybody in the Gospels are Jewish. And so it's kind of an in-house kind of thing. And so just, you know, keep that in mind. Jesus is Jewish. They're all Jewish. So, you know, people have used it to try to condemn the Jews. It's ridiculous. But anyway, just so you get that there. There are four different views of Messiah. Some of them are overlapping, especially the first three are very much similar. But sometimes they're different. So you add it together. It gives you a little different things. Sometimes throws in a little different things. For instance, one person, you know, the Lord goes to one town, Messiah ministers and heals two blind men. Well, one gospel might just focus on one blind man. The other one might focus on two. People say, oh, well, how could you, this says one, this says two. Well, each one is focusing. It's the whole picture together, okay? Now, Matthew, here's a little thing to understand. Matthew tends to focus on Messiah in his kingship, or messiahship there. And Mark tends to focus on Messiah as the servant of God, in his servanthood, a worker of God's will and wonders. Luke, the humanity of Messiah. John, or Yochanan, again, these are the divinity. But they all have different aspects, but that just tends to be a focus. The Gospels are just a beautiful thing, the land of Galilee, the journeys of Messiah to Jerusalem, and the teachings of Messiah, the parables and the stories, all for your life, and deep truths about redemption. Remember that our faith is, you know, it's not really about Messiah or the words of Messiah, it's Messiah. It's Him, it's Jesus. It's not about, but nevertheless, all those things are part of it. You know, when you read it as if you're there, and take it personally with all the Bible, as if He's speaking to you. It ends with the death and the resurrection, and when you read the Gospels, you get to know your Redeemer. And, you know, and again, best do it as if you were there. Learn as if you were His disciple, because you know what? You are. I'll get to that in another teaching, but you are His disciple. So then comes, after the Gospels, the book of Acts, which is like a sequel, you know, what happened after the resurrection to the early believers. What happened? The miracles and the Spirit coming and the Jewish believers preaching in Jerusalem and spreading the word, and then it's spreading out to the Gentiles, and it's really exciting. And then you have Saul or Paul who came to the Lord, and it's just a real exciting book. The growth, the power spreading. Then you have that's sort of all historical too, if you link it to the Old Testament, how it's like an historical section. Then you have the epistles, which are after that, Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, Corinthians, all that. And they are letters written to early believers, primarily by Paul, who was a rabbi, who came to the Lord, Paul, or Shaul, Saul. And he wrote these letters to the early believers. And then you have some of Peter's, 1st and 2nd Peter, Peter, who wrote it, whose name was Shimon, Simon. And then you have John, who wrote that. And so you have these letters there. And the purpose is, it's really summing up everything. That's how they're very important. It sums up, you know, how do we live now? And how do you apply this to your life? So now what do we do? So it's filled with great things to take really just personally. And the last thing is Revelation is the things yet to come. It's very prophetic and very symbolic image. There, it's hard to understand Revelation. Let me just, don't go to that first, you know, without reading the whole Bible. That's sort of like an Old Testament book. Everything is coming together to understand that, okay? And about the second coming and the final and the kingdom and all things that are yet to come, all right? So, now, How do you read it? It's a big book. You say, I'm not a scholar. Hey, it's okay. Don't worry. Don't worry for, you know, what you don't understand. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Because the most important things in the Bible are those things that are often stated the most often and most repeated and most simple. Okay? Now, some people, as I said before, try to read the whole Bible right through, you know, and they usually, it's okay for Genesis, but then about the middle of Exodus, they kind of, you know, and by Leviticus, they're gone. All the Bible is filled with important stuff, but best, again, to start with Matthew, okay, and at the same time read Ephesians, you know, and then I would suggest you read another gospel and read other letters, epistles. But at the same time, from the Old Testament, the Psalms are great at any time, you know, and Proverbs are great at any time. Okay, now, remember something, you don't have to know everything, and you don't have to understand everything. You know, the most important things, this is a rule, the most important things in God's Word are the most often repeated and the simplest. Okay? Now, there are several Bible aids I'll tell you about in a moment, but let me tell you some special notes. There's no book like the Bible. I mean, there's just no book in history that has changed so many lives. There's no book that's been written over, think about this, over a period of over 1,500 years. I mean, imagine that. And yet it makes sense. It holds together from beginning to end as if one person wrote it. You see the hand of God. You see the Spirit of God through all these different people, from prophets and princes and shepherds and peasants, and all these had a part in writing it, and yet it all holds together. I mean, it's incredible. So, you know, another thing is that it's the only book in the world that predicts human history with 100% accuracy. That's what really led me, when I was an atheist, to see what the Bible was. I'm going to share some things. Get a pen ready, and you can put the tape on pause. I'm going to show you some messianic prophecies in the Old Testament that speak about Messiah's coming that are fulfilled in the New Testament in Jesus. I mean, and it's incredible. Listen to this. You know, I always thought these things were, I didn't know these things were Jewish. Micah 5:2, it says, Messiah will be born, or the Savior will be born in Bethlehem. That's from the Old Testament. That's 700 years before it happened. Zechariah 9:9 says that Messiah will come into Jerusalem on a donkey. That's Palm Sunday. That's several hundred years before it happened. Proverbs 30 speaks about the Son of God. I always thought that wasn't Jewish. It's right there in Proverbs 30, the first few verses there. Zechariah 12:10 speaks about the second coming, and it speaks about Messiah being pierced. Pierced. Daniel 9:24-26 says Messiah will be killed, and it actually gives the time, and without going into mathematics, it's awesome. And this is written several centuries before Jesus. It says he will come before the destruction of the second temple, of the temple there. It talks about the sanctuary in the city. That's the temple. That was destroyed in 70 AD. It's amazing. Check out, now here's an assignment here, and definitely turn off the tape because I want you to see this. Open up to Isaiah 53. This is written 700 years before Jesus came. Open up to it and read it. And actually, read all these things for yourself, but read this now. You got to see it. And turn off that tape. Okay. All right. It's an awesome thing. The Bible is just awesome. I'll throw in one more thing. The Bible predicts Jewish history, even up to the 20th century, that the Jewish people would be scattered to all nations and persecuted and driven, and yet in the end times they'd come back as a nation, gathered back to Israel, to the land. That's never happened with any people in history as it has happened to the Jews. If, for instance, in Ezekiel 36, 37, 38, 30, all that is about, and even before that, it's all about that. Even Moses predicted that, and it's happened in our lifetime. It's incredible. Okay, now, again, if you're looking for what's called apologetics, it's not apologies, it's a defense of the faith, or you want some more, you know, just to buttress your faith in believing, if you're Jewish, get Finding Your Messiah, because that's specifically geared that way, but even if not, it's 2 1-hour tapes, The Resurrection on Trial, God on the Blue Planet, all these things are titles of tapes that we've got, that you might know, and again, for books, Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, More Than a Carpenter, or the other book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, both by Josh McDowell. Now, to read the Bible, and again, you can you don't need anything to do what I've just said, but to get more into detail, more depth, or just, I mean, head-wise or historical-wise, even though, remember, it's your heart that's most important, but still, and so for some of the Old Testament books as well, it's good to get a Bible handbook. Okay, at this point, I would recommend a real treat is Eerdmans Bible Handbook, or Handbook to the Bible, Eerdman. Now, there's other good ones, so check it out, but that's kind of like a whole one book that has a lot of things in once. Okay, and it'll be good. There's also Haley's and Unger's and a lot of other ones that are cheaper. But anyway, there are a lot of good ones. Some other reference tools are a commentary. That kind of gives you a verse-by-verse It's like a teacher telling you, giving them, you know, telling you what, how they're interpreting each verse or background for that. There's some great ones, some not as great. You know, you want to choose wisely. But then there's the concordance, which that tells you where any word is found in the Bible. Now, of course, they're having it on a computer, but any word is found in the Bible. You know, so that can really help. Okay, but a Bible handbook is that would be the first thing to get. Okay, now how to really read the Bible. Remember, when you read the Bible, you're getting head knowledge on one hand, that's information in your memory, and that's good, that's important, but ultimately it's got to be heart knowledge to your life, application knowledge. You know what you apply. What you apply is what you know. Now imagine you're going to hear from the King of the Universe. Well, look forward to it. Remember what I said. Look forward to reading the Word. It's a treasure. When you open those pages, pray beforehand for something from God. And when you open that book, take it as if you're opening a treasure chest. Okay, remember what the word is likened to. It says, man does not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. The Hebrews, the reason I call this manna, this teaching, which is manna on the word, is that the Hebrews, manna was the bread from heaven. And so it's a symbol of the word of God. We live by that. The word is called, as I said, a lamp to my feet, as it's light, it guides. It said in the Bible, the word is pure. There's something about it. As you receive it more and more in your head, in your mind, in your thoughts, in your soul, it purifies you. You can't even tell how. It's amazing. It just happens. And as, again, remember this, as food is to the body, so the spirit is to your soul and to your spirit. And if you don't, you know, again, they say 7 days without the Bible makes one weak, meaning W-E-A-K, weak, not strong. You need to daily take, no matter how busy you get, no matter what's going on, take it as you take food for your spirit. As you hunger for food, realize your spirit's hungering for the word, even if it's one word to really digest. It's a privilege. You know, most people in history didn't have a Bible to hang around with. You know, they had, in the ancient times, the Jewish people had these big scrolls. They couldn't carry it around. And then through much of history, they couldn't have it. In many places, it was you'd be persecuted to have anything. It's not a regular book. You don't read it once through. It's inexhaustible. It's just because, you know, it's as deep as its author. So every time you can read the same verse again and again, and every time it's going to be different. You know, again, you don't have to understand everything, but seek to understand what God wants you to hear for your life. Okay? Remember, you need to take it to your heart. Now, sometimes, as I've said, you want to digest it. Sometimes you just want to take one verse and let it truly soak into your life, change your life and the old assumptions and the old ideas and attitudes, and meditate on it. Okay? Really suggest getting a pocket Bible as well as a full Bible. And it could just be the New Testament if you want to have a pocket Bible. And so you can go anywhere with it and have it. It's like, again, to snack on. You know what I'm saying? It's the greatest honor. When you read it, ask, Lord, what does God want to say to my life? And how can I apply it? Read when you feel like it and when you don't. Again, sometimes just one word, one verse will jump out. Take it to heart. Again, let it soak in. Learn to memorize certain things. Some scripture you just want to have, you know, like memorize, you know, when you're in trouble. Like, for instance, you're being tempted. There's a scripture that says, for every temptation, God always provides a way out. Well, you might need to declare that. There's power in that. Just when you're being tempted by something, or saying, you know, I can do all things through him. You know, that's another scripture. You know, all things, you know, greater is him. You know, there's a lot of encouraging things. If you're worried, there's so many scriptures that say, fear not, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, you know, and another one, it says, cast all your anxieties upon him. When you're anxious, cast your anxiety. When you feel far from God, there's a scripture that says, nothing will separate us from the love of God, you know. When you're in some bondage, you're in some habit in your life, you're trying to get out, it says, if the Son has set you free, you are free. Don't be a slave again, you know. There's so much there, but, you know, and I'm not even giving it full justice here, but, you know, put it around your house, you know, tape up something, buy some things, you know, that you can get in a store, a Christian store, but, you know, put it around, surround your life with the Word of God. It's powerful. And again, repeat it, you know, hold on to it, you know. So, an application mission here, okay? Ready? Okay, now we've already had some things like it. Here's what you need to do. Take one verse look through the Bible, I mean, and you know, pray for a verse, you know, and you can look through the New Testament, it's just a bit easier, but there are things all over, but it'll be easier to focus on that. And particularly epistles, you know, find something in there, like maybe the book of Romans, the book of Ephesians, or something, Galatians, whatever. Find something in there that would be a real important verse for your life, okay? Write it down on something and pin it up somewhere on your wall, and just have it there as a regular thing. And even though it's handwriting and it may not be a thing, have it. It can be in your refrigerator. It can be on something. Have it where you're going to see it in your day for a good while. Not just, you know, that maybe could be a life verse. I mean, one of the verses that you really need in your life. Not just today, but it's something that really you could use in your life. Put it up. Write it. You might want to frame it. You might want to put a little pretty thing on it and put it up somewhere in your house. Okay? And that it'll just be strengthened. Every time you look at it, get strength from it. All right? Okay. Do it. Turn off the tape and do it and then come back. I'll see you then. Okay, you're back. But do it. Okay, now some secret and keys to understanding truth from error, discerning truth. And even if people are teaching the Bible and they're doing it, you know, it's all out of whack or balanced or not balanced at all. Look at the epistles of Paul. It's Romans, Ephesians, Galatians. The first ones are all Paul. And this represents the teaching summing up all of the New Testament and all of the whole Bible. And so whenever you hear something in teaching that you're not sure of, ask yourself, does it match up? Does it have the same overall spirit and emphasis and focus and balance and aim and feel as the epistles of Paul here? Because that's summing up the faith. Does the overall teaching of this ministry, the overall thing, does it have the same thing? Not just does it use scripture, that's not enough. Does it have the same overall thrust as the overall thrust of the epistles? Here's another rule of thumb for your own sake reading it, and that is that what is the context? Ask yourself. Say you open up the Bible, it says Judas hung himself. Then you open up again, it says go and do likewise. You know, that's out of context. That doesn't mean it's for you to do that, you know, and so, and although sometimes you can open up the Bible and something does pop out that is for you, you know, in your situation. But sometimes it's not. You can't go by that. Go by what's the context? What's he talking about? So people can take things out of context and also take the full counsel of God. So if someone say, for instance, you're under the law, you have to, you can't, here's what it says about what you can eat and what you don't eat. Here's what it says about the sacrifices, and you got to do this too, and you got to keep the Sabbath, and you got to, well, listen, some things, what is that taken from? Well, that's the Old Testament, and it's kind of like there's high school and there's college, and you don't want to, you know, there are things that are applicable from the law of Moses, but some things are not applicable. So that's a lot of it's just your choice, what you want to do. Don't you know, it says in the New Testament, don't judge anybody on these things, whether they keep the Sabbath or they don't keep the Sabbath or whatever. That's secondary now, you know. Another issue, a key thing, is major on the majors, minor on the minors. Don't let anybody get you wrapped up in all sorts of other things and this, the other teaching. Let me show you the real deep teaching. Listen, the most important deep teaching is this. God loves you. He saved you. Jesus, it means Yeshua. You know, there's a million, which is salvation, there's a million secondary issues. Some have a place, some don't have any place, some are not biblical, some are maybe biblical, but they're secondary, they're not primary. Don't let anybody move you from the highest, deepest thing, which is the love of God and your salvation. It says, grow in the knowledge of your salvation. There's no other knowledge. Let me show you the special seminar on this and this and this and this. You know, there's nothing, you know, don't be moved. I mean, there may be a lot of nice things you can learn about and find, but, you know, keep this. It says in the New Covenant also, it says that each one of them will know me. Each one, you know, so don't let anybody tell, you know, some people say, well, listen, I'll tell you what God says for you. And, you know, listen, you know God for yourself, but they may help you. They may be able to confirm things. But, you know, you learn to know God for yourself, and you learn to check everything out in the Bible for yourself. In the New Testament, there's people called the Bereans in the book of Acts, and they heard people preach the gospel, but they checked it out. And it says they were, and it was good. It was commended that they did. Okay? Beware of anyone who says that, hey, we're the real believers and there's nobody else. You know, we're the only group, we're the only denomination, we're the only church, you know. Or they act as if, you know, nobody else is as holy as we are. Or people who try to really control, and it's not just saying what the Bible says, they're really trying to control. Or they say, hey, you can only understand the Bible through what we say, you know, and my interpretation. I'm saying, hey, right here now, I'm saying, listen, you check this stuff out for yourself, okay? You let it be your guide. And then also keep in mind, there's something called the Shema, which is the central, when they asked Jesus, what's the most important thing? He said, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, basically. And what it's saying is whatever else happens in your life, it's love. Okay, now, for more on discerning truth from error, there's a teaching I did called Sound Doctrine and False Teaching, also Lies of the Prophets. Remember the rules? When you read the Bible, first ask yourself, what is it saying? Get yourself in the picture, really. What is it saying? Number two, what's it saying to me in my life? And number three, how do I apply it? Okay? Now, as we close here, you've done this before, but now we're going to raise it a little bit more because you're stronger now. Here's the assignment. Take one verse from the Bible, pray for it. Take one verse that's a little harder to apply, meaning that it's going to require a little bit more change, a little bit bigger change in your life to apply this, and apply it. Do it today. Okay? If it's night, do it tomorrow, but write it out. Okay? That's it. Turn over for Stepping Out and the Butterfly Principle.
on the next side.
This is the New Life tape album, or the New Life pack, and this is Jonathan Kahn. And on this, with this teaching, it's going to be called Stepping Out and the Butterfly Principle. And it's going to be a real exciting one, a challenging one, an adventurous one. And it is all dependent, though, upon your participation. So it's going to be about holy action and holy breakthroughs, what that's about, metamorphosis and change. It's going to be a powerful thing, but you have to be part of it. Okay, now, let me begin with a butterfly. You know, sometimes one of the symbols you'll see of the new birth, being born again, is a picture of a butterfly. And people have chosen that because it's, you know, it's an amazing kind of picture in nature. You have the caterpillar, which is like a worm. It's a very earthbound creature, not very pretty. And it is kind of crawling through life. It has a pretty lousy existence. And one day it kind of crawls up a tree and, in a sense, dies as a caterpillar or as a worm. It spins this chrysalis around it. It wraps itself in this kind of cell. And within that cell, it changes as it becomes the butterfly. But the butterfly is all kind of folded up. And it has to break out. In order to begin the new life, it has to break out of that shell, that chrysalis. It has to break out and spread its wings, flap its wings, get ready, and then it begins a totally different life, a heavenly life, in a sense, a sky-based life rather than an earth-based life. And that's what it's like with a new birth. You know, we kind of go through life kind of bound by all these things and all our past and our circumstance and the dirt and the whatever, the all we know, the, you know, just this, whatever it is, whether, you know, I mean, we might be rich, we might be poor, but we're basically caterpillars. We're basically bound to everything. And then comes the new birth where we kind of die, in a sense, to the old. We kind of say goodbye to the old and we become the new. A new person from the inside out. And it's not that you become someone else. You become you. In fact, you become you for the first time because that's what you're meant to be. The old you wasn't the real you, wasn't the one you were supposed to be. And so, but it comes from the inside out. So it's like the butterfly inside the chrysalis. And so the important thing is that the butterfly has to break through, has to break out, change. You have to break through. So that's the importance of action. Why it's so important, the godly habit of applying the word. Now there's two things that impel you to action in God. The word of God, you read something and it's, you know, and apply it as we've talked about. And the spirit in you, the new self in you as well. The spirit in you and with your, you know, urging you to do something, you know, or to do something good, to break through, to break out of the fear, break out of the gloom, break out of, you know, so you may not be content with things that you were content with before because there's a new you saying, no, that's the old junk, you know? So action is so important. It says, he who does the will of God, he who does my will know, will understand, will know. In James it says, faith without action or without works is dead. And I told you about the man building his house on the rock. So this tape is about stepping out. Action. Breakthrough action. Now, the first thing is this. You know, to do new things, we're often afraid of it. So we're not used to it. So often to do something, you look at a big thing and or just, hey, that's not me. You know, it can be daunting. Well, instead, take a small step. Here's a key. Take an immediate small step. Start wherever you're at and just walk. Just take a step. So this tape is going to be primarily focused on action, and it's designed to exercise your spirit. You know, there are tapes that exercise your, you know, your body, you know, and you haven't used muscles for a while, so it's kind of stretch and all that. There are tapes that try to exercise your mind, and this is exercising your spirit and your new self, which is the most important part of your life, or it's your life. And, you know, it's designed for that. It makes no sense without you. It won't work without you, and you won't be blessed without doing it. So the incentive is this, whether you are a Supreme Court justice or whether you are a welfare worker or whether you are a fast food restaurant cook, it doesn't matter. You need to do this. You need to loosen up. And even though some things might seem a little silly, you know, do it, do it, do it. Doesn't matter who you are. Do it. You need to get the change going. And that's what this is designed to do. There's a scripture in Philippians 4:13. I want you to look at it for a moment. It says, I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. And
you know, that doesn't mean you can jump off a building. It doesn't mean you can just do anything, you know, be greedy and do it. It means all things that are pertaining to life, that to joy, to fullness, all things that are needed you can do and through him, all things that are his will. So here is the let me show you another thing with this. You know why this is going to be important? Because the first thing I'm going to tell you is going to sound a little very silly. And you know what? It is silly. And it's stupid. And it's foolish. But do it. All the more reason to do it. The point is this. There's a new thing going on. But there's a lot of old things around it. You know, there's old habits. There's a new you there. But there's old habits. There's old attitudes. There's old emotions. Old ways of thinking. Old circumstances. Old relationships. Things that will just kind of reinforce the old. When you see an old yourself doing an old action, it kind of reinforces the old you. So therefore, how do you undo that? Well, it be you do it by taking new actions that are not consistent with the old you, but with a new you. You understand? You know, you need to therefore do what you're not normally comfortable doing, but and yet that which the new self impels you to do. So it's going to go against habit. It's going to go against, you know, there's going to be a million things that will say, no, we can't do that, and I can't do that, or no, I'm just not, you know, there'll be a million things, queasiness, awkwardness, all that. Well, that's a good sign. That's a sign that there's something there. The chrysalis, that's the chrysalis. It's got to break, okay? So just trust me if you want to be, you know, make sure you're alone with whatever. As we begin, I'm going to give you, this whole tape is going to consist now of stepping out, designed to ultimately transform your life, but starting with almost the littlest of things. Okay, here's the first application now, first assignment. And remember, once I give it to you, turn off the tape and do it, and don't come back until you've done it, then go to the next one. First application. If you're sitting down, if you're not, make sure, do sit down. If you're in a car, turn off the tape, and only when you have a chance, pull over. And where you normally wouldn't stop, but make sure it's safe, and then do what I'm going to say. All right. And here's the application. Rise up. Get up. Stand up. Go ahead. Now it's simple. I mean, unless it's physically impossible for some reason. And even then, you know what I'm talking about. But do it. Did you get up? Go ahead. You did it. Now, it means nothing. It meant nothing. It was a simple thing to do. You just rose up, ultimately because you were listening to the tape, and you were listening to the tape because you're following the way of God. And so you just did something that was based on following God. Indirectly, but you did it. And you wouldn't have done it if you weren't. It was the littlest of things, but you did it. Ultimately impelled by the new life in some way. The point is, you can do anything in God that is his will. You've got a choice. And half the battle, if not all the battle, on your part, is just saying yes to God and doing it. You can do great things, but they all begin with the smallest step. Always the smallest step. If you can rise up from that chair or that bed or that sofa or that car when you normally wouldn't, you can rise up out of anything. Because God calls you to rise. Rise up. You can rise up from depression. You can rise up from alcoholism. You can rise up, but it's going to take steps. And it's going to take the Spirit of God, and he will bless you as you take the steps. You know, obedience and repentance, that's all part of it. And it's an important part. And it's a joy. Now, what I'm trying to do is to get you used to doing new things, to break out of the old by action. These are, in a sense, actions that are like an antidote to the old action. So very simple at first, but I'm going to increase it as we move ahead because you're going to get stronger as we do it. Now, it's not that you're going to be able to do this all at once in one day. You know, it would be a very active day. But it may take a week. It may take 2 weeks. Do as long as you need, do it. Don't go to the next thing. This is more important that you do it than you get some more knowledge. Okay? Here's the second one. The second one also is pretty silly, a little less silly, but pretty. But do it. You need to remember. It's just to get you used to doing things you wouldn't normally do, and you have voices saying, "Oh, don't do that." Well, that break it, break out of it. That's part of it. You need that little opposition is good. Break out of it. That's what we're getting used to. The next one is to go for a walk. Go for a walk, and let me explain. If you normally go for a walk, then do it differently. You want to do something different. If you don't normally go for a walk, go for a walk. If you do it in a different way. Walk in a different place or something. Do it differently. Change. And throughout the whole walk, walk with God. Talk to him. Know that he's walking with you. And you know, bring things to him. Bring your day to him. What happened? What you need to unload? Or what your day ahead is going to be like, you know? do it. Take, you know, take some time, at the minimum 10 minutes, but you could go a half an hour, whatever. Do it, and I'll see you when you get back. Okay, you're back. I said, I'll see you, but I'm not seeing you. But listen, it was good to break out. You understand? It was a little thing, but you're beginning to break out. Now let's go. Let's raise it up now. One of the most important actions that you need to have in the new self, in a, for a life of joy, is that of giving, being a generous person. It's a necessity. It's not an option. Now, he said, well, I'm a selfish person. Good. That's the whole point. Break out of it. That you need something to break out of it. Maybe you were a giving person. Well, then do something different in a different way. But here is the third assignment. Give something away. And give something away. You know, set it aside. If it's late at night and you can't, and there's nobody who can, then set it aside to give it away tomorrow. Okay, but give something away, and when you give it away, give something that might even be of some value, or you might have a little hard time giving it away, maybe, you know. But when you give it away, give it in joy. Picture another person using it, and give it with joy, okay? And do that, and, you know, after you finish that, come back to the fourth. Okay, you're back. You gave something away. Did it hurt you? Did it feel really bad? You know, I mean, sometimes it's a struggle to give something away. You know, and often to give to the poor or give to someone who needs, but it's a wonderful thing once you do it. It even helps your health. Okay, now, the fourth mission, your fourth mission. We are to be people now of love, primarily characterized by love, but you have to express love. That's part of it. Now, you may have been from a background where you just never expressed it or never showed it or, you know. Well, here is the fourth assignment, and that is express love to a loved one. Express love, especially if you haven't expressed before. And if you have, if you come from a family that does, or whatever, your relationships are that way, then do it in a different way, in a greater way. But if you haven't, in either, anyway, as best you can, beyond what you have done in the past, express love, express appreciation. Maybe you can do it face-to-face, if you're with a person. You can do it in a phone call. You can do it in a letter or note. Express it. You say, hey, listen, I just want to say, you know, we never get a chance to say this. I've never said this before, you know, but I really appreciate you, and I do love you, and I'm just blessed to have you in my life. God, you know, whatever. Bless them. Pray for them. You know, bless them. But do something. Express to, in some way, love for them in a way you never have before, in a greater way. Okay? And it might be a little awkward. You know, I'm not used to this. Good. Good if it's awkward, because that's the chrysalis. That means that is being stretched and has to be broken, and it's being broken. Okay? Do that. And now, so before you go on, do that now. If it's a note, write it. If they're with you, do it now. And let her get ready to send. Even if it's late at night, get ready to send it. If it's a phone call and it's late at night, don't call them 3 a.m. in the morning to tell them you appreciate them. But then make a note, you know, a real big note, and for tomorrow, as you know, when you can, and whatever the case is. And then, I mean, do what you need to do now to get ready, and then make sure it gets done. Don't go on to the next one until it's done. Okay? Love. Okay, now, we're going to the fifth mission. And this one is to, look, the stakes are a little higher now, to deal with some obstructions. One of the greatest obstructions is fear. Fear. If you're a child of God now, and you are, you're not to be a slave to fear. We're not to be people who are slaves to fear, because, you know, it says... Let me just clarify this before I read a scripture. It doesn't mean if you're on a train track and a train's coming that you just sit there because you're not afraid of it. You know, be obviously reasonable. But what it means, you're not to be living in fearfulness and anxiety and afraid of people and afraid of whatever, new things. And it says in 1 John, and I want you to turn to it. 1 John, I want you to see it for yourself. And you can take this and write it down and hold it with you as you do the next assignment. 1 John 4 and... Verse 18. It's not the gospel. It's the letter of John, which is 1 and 2 John at the end and 3 John. 1 John. It says there is no fear in love, because perfect love drives out fear. Fear has to do with punishment, but the one who fears isn't perfect in love. And so what it's saying is that if you know you're with God and you're right with God, what else are you going to fear? You know, so the love that you have with God is to overcome the fear you might have had in the world. So here is the assignment, and you're coming up with it. And there is this: write down one fear you have. It might be fear of people, it might be fear of new places, it might be a fear of anything, being seen alone, you know, I don't know what, you know, walking down a street and you see people and you hide, you go, there's a fear of whatever it is. That's really not a good fear. I mean, not that it, you know. And now write down an action to overcome it. Take one action, not that you'll overcome everything at once, but a step of overcoming the fear. It might be going to a restaurant with nobody, sitting down alone by yourself and being fine, or, you know, just bearing with it. It might be going up to somebody that you're afraid of going up to somebody, and I'm not saying don't do anything for a selfish reason or an ungodly reason, obviously, but only for a godly reason, a good thing, you know, to overcome a fear that you have. Just force yourself by the new, you know, in the new thing, and remembering, you know, it is a scripture also that says in Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8. Check out Romans 8. It's filled with stuff like that. God is for us. You know, what can be against us? Okay? Go to it. Overcome that fear. And I'll see you for the mission number 6. Okay. Now, going against fear, you know, it's hard at first. You know, you'd rather take the easy way and just avoid it, but then you end up being a prisoner to it. But, you know, to confront it is tough. But, you know, how do you feel afterwards? It's like, yes, things start flowing. Keep all these things up as practices and habits. Take things on head on in God. Okay, number 6 mission. Reconciliation and forgiveness. We are about forgiveness, reconciliation. God, you know, has forgiven us. We need to do that with others, and we need to break down barriers of our own walls against people. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, which is just beautiful stuff, Matthew 5 to 7, I mean, powerful stuff about living your life, which you should check out after this. It says that, you know, if you're offering, if you're offering a gift at the altar, meaning you're coming to God, and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before you even do it. Get reconciled to your brother and then go and offer your gift. Basically, it's saying that you can't, you know, you're saying you love God, but, you know, you have these walls against other people. Now, you can't control whether people have walls against you, but you can do your best, and you can make a, you know, you can certainly do a good thing, and usually people respond, you know, most of the time. So, in any case, here's the sixth mission is one of reconciliation. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. Somebody you've had a problem with, there's a wall in your life with you and somebody. Bless them. Do everything you can to reconcile. And it doesn't mean you have to go up and bring up all the stuff they did and, you know, forget about what they have to do. That's part of the problem. Forget about that. Just, you know, if you can apologize, do it. Even if you've both done wrong, you just, you know, for your part, you just apologize for your part and say, just forgive me. Be humble. Be the humbler one, you know. The more spiritual one could be the more humbler one. Be humble. Forget about what they've done. Just ask for it. Don't expect them to apologize or anything. But the point is, or maybe you don't have to bring up anything. Just bless them. Do something for them. Just love them. Do as a real special gesture to someone where there's kind of been a wall up in some way. In some way, you know, whatever it is. Break down a wall, okay? And go to it, you know, write it down, whoever the person is and what your action's going to be, you know, resolve it. If you can't do it right now, write it down and then do it, do some holy wall breaking with the power of love. And I'll see you when you're finished for the 7th mission. The Lord said, that in the day of reckoning and we've come face to face, you know, after this life is over, he will ask, did you feed the poor? Did you clothe the naked? Did you take in the stranger? Did you visit those who are sick and in prison? He said, when you did it to those people, you did it to me. So here is the 7th mission. We have to be people of good deeds and acts of love. Go out today, or, you know, as soon as you can, okay, to a busy place, maybe where there's some old people or some poor people, someplace where, and help somebody. Just look for opportunities to help people. Don't, you know, you could be rushing in a train station or rushing somewhere or in a mall or something, and just pray, ask the Lord to give you some people you can help, you know, and just help. You can hang around for a while, you know, and you can always give somebody a note that says God loves you or something, or a tract. You know, that's always a way of helping or sharing. Someone might come up to you and you can just share God's love with them. But you see somebody needs to, an old lady, you see whatever, however in some way. Okay? This is, again, we've raised it now. You're stronger. Okay? And hang out till you do it, but pray for some way you can be a blessing to someone and do it. Okay? And it could even just be, you know, you can always walk up to somebody and say, hey, listen, you know, again, God loves you, or I just want to say, God, you know, something of encouragement, you know, be encouraged, something, some word, you know, Okay, go ahead, do it. And as you do these things, and as you overcome, you're also overcoming fears, and you're stepping out. Okay, ready for the eighth one? The eighth one. You know, it says again, as I said before, we're to love people who are close to us, love people who are not close to us, but certainly are the ones who are in our house, you know. And it says, love not only in word, but in deed. So here's the eighth one. Pretty easy, but buy a gift for somebody close to you, not for their birthday, not for any special occasion, not for anything. Just buy a gift with a little note. You know, maybe a different person from the other person who you said that to before, or maybe the same. And especially if you didn't write a note before, if it's a different person, then write a note in there with an expression of love and give them a gift. Just say, hey, I just wanted to bless you. Okay, that's eight. Get to it. I'll see you at nine. You're going to be so blessed at each one, but I'll see you for the ninth mission. Okay, how's it feeling doing these good things? Probably real good once you do it. Okay, we go to the ninth one. The ninth mission is this. Go somewhere to a place you have not been before, and just take a Bible with you and spend some great time with the Lord. Spend some time in your secret time in a new place, in a place you've never been before. Just spend some time with the Lord, and if you can't concentrate for a while, it's okay, or your mind just hang out. Maybe read a psalm. You know, spend some time with God in a new place, a new secret place, and enjoy. I'll see you for the 10th. Okay, now we go to the 10th mission. Now, the 10th mission is, you got to be honest with yourself. What kind of person are you? How do people view you? You're kind of like, are you kind of very outgoing, you're introverted, you're whatever, you're very rigid, or you're very kind of whatever. Well, here's the assignment. You have to come up with it. Do something that's totally out of character for you to do, but that is good and godly. A good and godly thing that is not typical of you and your personality. Okay, whatever it is. If you're very introverted, maybe an outgoing thing, or you don't, you know, a way of blessing someone in a way that would just be out of character for you, not the way you would do it, normally do it. Just do it, okay? But write it down. Think. Take some time to think. It's going to take a little bit of time to think about this one. And do something out of character. And just unexpected. Where people would say, what? That's you? You know, I'd never expect you to do this. Okay? Have fun with it. Surprise people. God has got a surprise, so his people also have to be people of surprises. Okay. Hope you had fun with that. We go on to the 11th mission. And again, don't go on until the other one is done. And this one is in your regular course of life, in your daily job, your daily work, or your daily time in the house, and your daily, whatever is expected of you in the relationships that you have at your job or at home, and the things you do, the duties and all that. Go way beyond what is expected of you to bless those people, you know, who you are serving or you are helping with. And don't step out of line. Go with them, but go way and above and beyond. It says in the Bible, do whatever you do wholeheartedly and for God, and do it for God. Do it for his eyes to see, but also bless those people. Okay? Go to it and enjoy it. As you do it, rejoice in doing it. Okay, one of the secrets of a great life in God is to apply his love to all areas of our lives. And sometimes people keep pockets of their lives untouched, and they're never blessed. It's inconsistent in those areas. Well, speaking of pockets, pocketbooks, wallets. You have a pocketbook, you have a wallet, you have a checkbook. You need to be giving in every way. And so the 12th mission is to take a checkbook, you know, or money, and give to God's work. Give to the poor, give to a mission, give to your congregation. We should be doing that anyway, but something that's special and over and above what you normally would do. Give to the work of God, helping the sick, getting the good news, whatever. Okay? And, you know, you're converting what you do in your daily life into pure love. Do it. And be as generous as you can and as joyous as you can. It says God loves a cheerful giver. The blessing is also in doing it wholeheartedly and with joy. Okay, now we're moving on, but I just want to say something about that one. It says, give and it shall be given to you. This is for your sake, you know, period. Okay, now, the 13th one, you have to decide that. there's something, the light is inside you and the new life's in you and it's trying to come out in some area, but it's scared to. Maybe it's to tell somebody about it. Maybe it's to tell somebody, your friend, or but you're afraid of rejection. Or maybe it's just something you have to break out of or something you're just not comfortable with anymore. Well, here's the assignment. You have to write it down. What is it? What is it? And now break out. Don't hide it. Let your light shine, it says. Let your light shine. Break out and let, just do it. Break out in that area that you know you have to break out of. But write it down and do it. And then I'll see you for 14. Okay. 14. Now you're stronger. Now it's even more than just somebody you had a difference with. You might have an enemy or someone who really doesn't like you or opposes what you're doing or whatever, a strong thing. Well, just here it is. Number 14 is bless your enemy. The Lord says, love your enemies. Bless your enemy, okay? And they won't be an enemy to you. I mean, whether they still remain in your heart, they won't be. Okay, now, we go to 15. And this is requires you to get a New Testament that you can give away, not the one you have, you know, or a pocket version. Get another one. And go somewhere. This is now stronger. Go somewhere, you know, in your town or anywhere where there will be some poor people. And give them, have some money, and give them a little gift of money for those who can use it, who would be blessed with it, not offended, and give them a New Testament. You might want to buy a few of them, and give it to them. And just want to say God loves you. You might have a chance to talk with them and share with them. You might even have a chance to pray with them and lead them to the Lord. But at least give them a New Testament, and with a smile and with love, and you could, again, do a few of them, and it would be great also to help with their physical needs. If you have some money, you can give them as well. Okay? It's a big one, and it may take, you know, you have to go somewhere to get this. Do it, and go on your mission. It's wonderful. All right. Now it's number 16, and if you've done these, you have been, already changed, and you've already been blessed. How do you feel? Because if you've done it, God is doing a great thing in your life. And if you haven't, it's okay. Go back and do it. Don't go forward till you've done each one. You'll be blessed. Okay, you live once. Go for it. Okay, and here's the last one. 16, you're stronger now. Okay, and you can do anything that is His will. Now, you're coming up with number 16 completely. There's something else in your life. There's a bigger change, a bigger break, a bigger new thing for you to do for God. You have to choose it. You need to do it. You write it down. You write it down, the big change, and you do it. Okay? A change of love, a change of goodness, a change, you know it. Write it down, a change of freedom and blessing, and in the same spirit you've done the other things, and pray about it. Pray for His strength. All this is in His strength. You can't do anything on your own. All this stuff that you've done is responding in His love, and His Spirit has done it through you. So now go and in His Spirit and do your thing. Go and be blessed, and I'll come back and I'll see you for the close. Okay, now, wasn't it great? Isn't it great? Follow God. It's not a chore. It's a wonderful thing. And He will bless you. This is just a few things that we did here, but a whole lifetime. Make it a regular practice. Be wise, whether other people are doing it or not. When you hear the Word of God, you have a little pad there, and always come up with an assignment, a mission, and apply it. When you read the Word of God, when you hear the Word of God, come up with at least one for the day. Make it a regular practice of doing good, and get into the joy of love and giving. We also have we may at this time, I don't know, the Devotional Sapphires, which has daily applications and daily sharings. And if you were able to get that and we have that, write to us. And if we have that at the time, we'll get it to you. Okay, some more great things coming up, including Cool and Uncool and the Doritos Principle, the others, Dealing with People Successfully, Dragon Slaying, Your Mission from God or Heaven's Secret Agent, The Happiness Secrets, and more. And get the coupon out if you have that, or however you have it, or tell the person whatever it is that you need to do so you don't miss the next tape, the next one coming up, the fifth teaching is The Lover and the Beloved, all about you and God, the relationship, the deep things, the relationship with you and God. And then number 6 will be Changing Clothes. Okay, so God bless you and keep on living a life of love in action and the power of God's Spirit. When you make what you just did a regular part of your life, you'll end up having lived a wonderful, full life.